Hello, this is Evangelist Vincent Skinner, and you are listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses and stirs a hunger for God in you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch your life through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Since I've been with you guys last November, I think it was.
Yes.
Been to Europe about 6 or 7 times. Argentina, Brazil, Spain, Germany, the US, and you know, if you travel around the world, you'll find out very quickly that God is on the move. You know, we've done some investigation, and really, I believe that there's been a move of God that's global, that's been going on at least 30, 35 years. But because it's so big, you tend to only notice the ones that, the little spikes here and there. But really, it's happening around the world, and it's been happening for a long time. Isn't that good? And you know, the reason it is because Jesus, and you've heard this, it almost sounds like a cliche, Jesus is not dead. But you see, in some places you go to, it's like they're serving a Jesus that is dead. It's like they want to keep Jesus on the cross, or they want to keep Jesus as the baby in the manger, and whenever they show Jesus, he's always suffering, but he's not like that anymore. Come on. He's not a man anymore. He's been reinstated. He's been resurrected. He's right back with the Father. But the difference is, he went there with you and me, with the marks in his hands and his feet, with the marks of Calvary. Because when he came representing the kingdom and representing his Father. But when he left, he took us with him. And that's why we are seated together with him in heavenly places. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Speaking of Jesus, this is the message that Jesus started out with. In verse 17 it says, "And from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And here's the thing about Jesus. Jesus did not come to introduce a religion. Do you know that religion is man-made? Huh? Jesus came to introduce a kingdom, not a religion. Man created religion. And he began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now, you know, there's two words that scare most believers more than anything else. Are you ready for what that is? The first word is tithe, and the second word is repent. You know, you mention those two words, people are like, "Oh my God, no, this is too much." Or we say, you know, the word repent is only for that professional sinner, you know. The guy that's just so bad that you either get him saved or you go and euthanize him or something, because there's not much hope. But the word repent there means this. It means to change yourself, to align yourself to the kingdom of God. It's an alignment. In a sense, you synchronize yourself with what is happening in heaven. So when Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," what he was saying is, hey, align yourself, do what is necessary. Synchronize yourself with that place. Because that realm, that kingdom, is now available. That's what Jesus was saying there. And it starts out with salvation. How do you begin this walk? You begin this walk by saying, "Jesus, I want you as my Savior. Come and wash my sins. I recognize that I have a need for you. Come wash my sins away." How many of you have done that? Isn't that a wonderful experience? That's where it begins. But that's not the end. Because Luke, what happens next in verse 18? "Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, who was casting a net into the sea, for they were, come on, God, I'm seeing if you're reading with me, fishermen. And he said to them, follow me. Anthony almost preached my message. He said to the fishermen, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. So you see, when Jesus saves you, it's not just so that you can have fire insurance. You know what fire insurance is? Oh God, I don't want to burn in the flames of hell for eternity. Most people say, I want Jesus for that reason. I mean, if that gets you in, praise God. But that's not what it's about. When he saves you, when he washes you and cleans you out, and you're born, you have the born again experience, the next step is he comes to you and he says to you, hey, will you follow me? I want to make you, you might be fishers, a fisherman, but I now want to plug you in to this plan that I have that comes from my Father. I want you to find your place in my thing. Follow me. Many believers, they've taken Jesus on as Savior, but they've not heeded the call upon their life that says, follow me. Because when you follow Jesus, it's all about priorities. You've said to Jesus, I now make you first place in my life. No longer does money, reputation, whatever this world has to offer, no longer do those things have first place in my life. I am a follower of Jesus. Because when you follow someone in that way, you want to be like the one you're following. And that's the fight that many people have. They've received Jesus as Savior, but they want to model their life after something else. They want Jesus there because they don't want hell. But they don't want to model themselves after Jesus. Come on, are you all out there? Why are you so quiet today? Come on. Follow me. Has Jesus come to you and said, hey, follow me? Have you heard that in your life? It's very important. I like verse 22. Immediately they left their boat and their father and they followed him. Wow. Verse 23. And Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, preaching and teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, hey, that realm where the Father is available now. That's what Jesus was saying. And he began to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness amongst the people. So you got to understand something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, where Jesus is king, always demonstrates power and authority over sickness and disease and over the things that bind people here on earth. That's the whole point behind a kingdom. You understand? Yeah. Look at verse 24. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, who were suffering with various diseases and pains and all kinds of things. The news spread about. In other words, Jesus' reputation just went. Do you know that Jesus has a reputation? Some of you say he does. Yes, he does. He has a reputation. Why did they come flocking to Jesus? Why did they come running to Jesus? Because he had a reputation. You get to where Jesus is, we know this and this and this is going to happen. Come on. Verse 25, large crowds. Everyone say large crowds. Followed him. Listen here, we are not only called to follow Jesus, but we are called to have a reputation because of Jesus. And then we are also called to have influence because of Jesus. See, as a church, it's not just about meeting on a Sunday. or meeting in the week. As a church must have a reputation and must seek to have influence in this world. The days and the teaching that are the church, you know, you must be so humble, you must be so hidden, you must go hide in a cave somewhere. It's a bunch of nonsense. The church must be influential, powerful, strong, and doing, and but being strong because of the reputation of what Jesus has done in their midst. Come on. We should have influence in every area. Business, politics, everything. We must have influence, and we must take the influence of who Jesus is out there. That's why I love the fact that you guys are getting a building. That's influence. Come on. That's reputation. What about your life? What about you? What influence and reputation are you giving out there for Jesus? You know the story, don't take your light and hide it under a bowl. Come on, take it and put it on the top of a mountain. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. If they're going to persecute you, because some people say, well, you know, I don't want to do that. They're going to persecute me. Look, they're going to persecute you anyway, so give them a good reason for doing it. Come on now. Anyway, some of you got that, some of you did not. So let's turn to Mark chapter 16. So that we just saw Jesus, okay, what he did. He proclaimed the kingdom, he demonstrated the kingdom, he had reputation, and he had influence. Now there's a portion of scripture that's very similar, but it pertains to you and me. And it's a well-known portion of scripture, Mark chapter 16, verse 14. Let's start there. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And I like the way he handles them. He reproached them. In other words, he rebuked them for their unbelief. Can you imagine? Jesus is risen. Last time you saw him, he was dead. And he comes into the room where you are and he says, naughty, naughty, naughty. Why did you not believe? I mean, he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Verse 15. And he said to them, now this is the risen Jesus. You've got to understand, this is Jesus risen, okay? He's the guy that walked through the wall. Remember? They were all locked up in the room because they were so afraid, because they were afraid of the Romans and all of that. They're going to come and get him. And Jesus just walks through the wall. There he is. This is who's addressing us right now, okay? And he said to them, go into all the world. Now, does that not sound like influence? Does that not sound like, hey, I mean, if you're going to have a world plan, that's not a small plan. If you're going to have a plan to say, hey, let's take this gospel, let's take this kingdom to Sydney, is that a small thing? So God doesn't start with the small thing. He says, look, go take the world. But start with your city. Okay. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In other words, to every culture, and that's out there. All right? He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who does not shall be condemned. All right? So we have a responsibility. We give life. We are actually givers of eternal life to people. We are giving them the opportunity and showing them the way that, look, this is where you must go to take Jesus into your life and to begin this journey with God, eternal life. We can give that. That's what we as a church give. All right?
We have a responsibility to give people eternal life, to give people hope, to give people Jesus. Do you all agree? Yes. That's not a small thing. How are we going to do that? By running onto the street corner like some of those crazy guys that you see in the movies with repent or burn, you know? You know? What are we going to do it like that? No, we are going to do it by having reputation, by having influence. Not so that we can be lifted up with our pride, but because reputation and influence equals authority, which equals touching and reaching more people. All right? Verse 17, these signs, in other words, these works of power, or these works of this demonstration of power that will be around you because you represent the kingdom of God, these signs will accompany those who have believed. How many believers we got here? Come on, you're a believer of Jesus. I'm talking about you, okay? These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. Now you might say, well, we're not in Africa. You know, we have a saying, the demons that are in America or in Australia are the ones that couldn't make it in Africa. But the point is, there's a scripture that says Jesus comes to give life and life more abundantly. Doesn't say that. But the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's real. You probably know some people, their lives are a total mess. And some of the stuff happening in their lives cannot be explained. Some people are addicted to stuff. All kinds of things that is eating away at their lives like cancer. Well, I want to say this to you. As believers, we have this sign. We have this demonstration of power that belongs to us. That in the name of Jesus, we have authority over the power of darkness and over demons. Now, you might say, I don't believe in demons. Well, that's your problem. Because they are real. And let me tell you something, a lot of people are bound, suffering, and we have the authority in the name of Jesus. I mean, just recently in Germany, because I go to a lot of places where, I mean, you walk down the street, you see them shooting up with heroin, and I mean, they don't, like the movies, stick it yet. It's in between the fingers and toes, and it's freaky. But you see them, and they come up, and they say, I want to be free. Now, what are you going to give them? A sandwich? And say, God bless you? Jesus loves you? You know, have coffee and tea afterwards. We'll talk to you. They don't need that. It's not going to help them. You know, what about, what's some of the problems in Sydney? What are you going to do? Give them a sandwich? The reason they're there is because they're in trouble. Come on. So, I mean, we prayed for this guy, and he's not the only one. We've prayed for many where the power of God touches them in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the devil and over how he's working in their life, and we say, in the name of Jesus, be set free from this addiction. And the power of God hits them, and many of them come back and say, you know, the desire, the cravings, everything is gone. So what are we going to do? Do you think a sandwich will do that? It's not going to do that. We have the name of Jesus. And we can cast out demons. In other words, we can break the power of the enemy from people's lives. And we can list things today that have people bound. All kinds of stuff. But I think you know what they are. You just got to look around you. So in my name, they'll cast out demons. They will speak with other tongues. Now you got to understand when Jesus said this to them, you will speak in other tongues. This was before Acts chapter 2. This is pre-Pentecost. They had not yet experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire sitting on their heads, and, you know, begin to speak in tongues and people hearing them in their own language. This had not yet happened. So Jesus says to them, these signs will be with you. You will speak with other tongues. That's why, you know, these folks that say, well, you know, that's not for now. I kind of have an issue with that because Jesus is the one that declared it. But here's the thing that I want to point out to you today, that when I believe when Jesus was saying you'll speak with other tongues, what he was saying was you will have the effects of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you will have the moving of the Holy Spirit with you. You will have the presence of God, the manifest presence of God with you. You will have the power of God with you. Everything that the baptism of the Holy Spirit brings, all the effects, everything will be with you as a believer. Hallelujah. How many believers we got here? Yeah, I'm talking about you. See, the presence of God belongs to you. It should be part of your life daily. The manifest presence of God should be your thing. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how you feel. You can tap into that wonder and glory of the presence of God in your life. If you're going through a tough time, don't do it alone. Do it with the Holy Spirit. Say, oh God, I'm going through a rough time. Come and fill me. Come and touch me. Come and move upon me. That's what my wife and I do. When we're feeling down, we're going through a rough time, we just say, you know, let's just get full of the Holy Ghost. It helps. It changes your perspective. It changes your view. It changes your feeling. It changes everything. And next thing you know what? This is not such a bad thing. I can do this. Yeah? It's not just about speaking in tongues. Come on now. Tongues is just an evidence. But you know, scripturally, there are many more evidences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How many enjoy the presence of God? The manifest presence of God. Come on. The touch of God. See, the difference between religion and a true relationship with God is religion just talks about God. But we don't just want to talk about Him. We want to experience Him. But you know, the other issue is this. Many are afraid of freedom. You know, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. A lot of people don't like freedom. It freaks them out. Do you know that? They don't like it. They get angry. This is too free. It makes them nervous because they're enjoying the close boundaries of this thing that's binding them. So it's safe. It's cuddly. So here comes the Holy Spirit. He brings freedom and they say, my God, no. You know? Some of you are looking at me. Maybe it's you. It is a scary thing to follow God because He demands everything from us and He commands us to follow Him, but He doesn't always tell us where He's going. That's the whole point. That's the beauty of it. I trust you. Come on. If you want to break down this whole thing called Christianity, you can break it down to this. God, I trust you. I don't understand everything, but I trust you. At the end of the day, when all hell's breaking around you, things are happening, when you go through a crisis, I mean, a real crisis. What you find right there in the middle of that crisis is this thing. I don't understand. It's too difficult. My emotions are going crazy. But God, I trust you. That's all you can do. I mean, like Anthony brought up my son, who almost really, almost died. He was 14, so this is 5 years ago. Just overnight, he got sick. Next thing, he's in the hospital. They helicopter him. We arrive there. We walk into the... It took us about 2.5-3 hours to drive there. So when we get there, next thing we know, we're in this room with like 7 doctors, specialists, and they look at us and they say, prepare yourself. Your son's probably going to die tonight. What do you do? First of all, you freak out. Absolutely. Freak out. You need the emotions to come out. But let me tell you something. When it's all said and done and it's settled and you're facing the situation, you know what we found? We just found, you know, God, I trust you. I trust you that my son is going to live. You know, what do you do in a situation like that? We just said, you know, God, we've served you. We love you. We're not strong now. But now my trust is in you. I'm not going to go anywhere else. What else do I have? Come on. So that's just for free. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in other tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. Look, what that's really saying is you just got to, let's break it down. God's protection is upon your life. His protection is upon your life. You're going to go through the storms. You're going to go through all that stuff. But if you are following Jesus, His protection is with you. His protection is with you. You're going to come through. You're going to be okay. You're going to move through it. And you're going to see, man, there's the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, because I sense some of you are going through some tough times. But you know how I've trained my wife to think. And I think. I say to her, Lisa, this is happening now. It's terrible. But 6 months from now, it's over. And I always think like that. 6 months from now, it's over. This is going to be a story in 6 months. So all we have to do is figure out how to follow Jesus, how to do this thing according to His word, and just maneuver ourselves through it. Because when you know 6 months from now, come on. So always look ahead. Deal with what you got, but recognize, hey, it's not forever. It will not hurt them. And I like this last one. And they will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. Come on, raise your hands there. Raise your hands. Those hands are dangerous for Jesus. It's not our idea. It's God. You can put your hands up. It's not our idea. It's God. It's not our idea. It's God's idea. He's the one that came up with the idea. If you lay hands upon the sick, they will recover. It's not our idea. And you don't have to always just lay hands upon the sick in a service like this. Every one of you have the right as a believer to take authority over the enemy in Jesus' name, to have the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, to have the protection of God, and to lay hands upon the sick, to minister to the needy and the hurting people through the power of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of you. See, we got to take this and we got to get it out of our thinking in the church that it's only for the pulpit. It's not just for the pulpit. It's for you. The whole idea is that everybody knows this, does this. But you see, here's the thing. We got to get it out of just having an event to actually having it as a lifestyle. To where, hey, this isn't just what we do. This is who we are. And we know we have these things. We know we have these rights. We know really what I'm talking to you about today is the believer's authority. It's all part of the package of following Jesus. Remember what Jesus did? He said, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he said, follow me. And then he demonstrated it. And then, yeah, he's saying to you and me, now what I demonstrated, now you go and do it. It's part of you. You say, well, but don't I need to fast and pray for 7 weeks and whatever? Look, 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 look. Jesus said it. Just do it. Somebody says, oh, it can't be that easy. Well, why not? Why not? Well, what if I do it and nothing happens? What if you do and something does? And what do you do if nothing happens? Love them, encourage them, pray for them, and then do it again later. But don't be intimidated by the thing in front of you. So I want to read you some testimonies. We just were in Argentina in June. Did a conference there. About 2,500 people came, and the Lord did some amazing miracles. And I want to read some of them. I want to share some of them with you. A mute 9-year-old girl spoke for the first time. Born mute, never spoken. In the meeting, Sunny turned to her mother and said, "Jesus, something like, Jesus is my Savior." The mother probably looked at her and said, the mother testified later and looked at her and said, "What did you say?" And she said, "Yes, Mom, Jesus is my Savior." Can you imagine hearing your 9-year-old daughter speak for the first time? Come on. Why not? Why not? A girl also about 12 years old had severe pigeon toe. Do you know what pigeon toe is? Her feet were in like this. And you just watch this, the feet just go straight, next one straight. I mean, we were doing the preaching and the praying, but when those things happen, you go, Jesus, do it again. Put it back. We want to see her do it again. You know what I'm saying? It's like, where's the camera? Where's, you know? A girl, she was about 14 or so, she had, do you know what a staph infection is? It was on her face and on her cheek, and basically this infection ate away at her cheek, and she had a huge, almost like a hole, a sore in her cheek. And it was almost like it was eating away on her face. And she came up to the stage, and she had like this big gauze, you know. And you could see in the gauze where probably the blood and the pus had come through, you know. And it was pretty huge. And she came up and I thought, well, what has Jesus done for you? And she said, well, I felt heat come on my face. And she explained the whole thing was a staph infection. And there was an open sore, like a big hole in there and everything. And I said, well, what did he do for you? He said, well, she said, I felt heat come on my face and I'm healed. So I thought, well, then how do you know, you know? And she said, oh, and she pulled back the gauze, and I looked at her cheek, and I said, but there's nothing wrong with your cheek. She said, exactly. God, I mean, literally, gone. Gone. Cheek, perfectly normal. Come on now. I mean, most girls worry about acne. She had a hole in her cheek. And like that, Jesus healed it. Scoliosis, healed. Woman with such bad arthritis couldn't hardly walk, let alone walk up steps or run. She not only climbed the steps, she came onto the stage, she ran around the stage, she jumped off the stage and ran down the aisle. Totally healed. Come on. Just want to read some more. Oh yeah, another girl had severe, bad eyesight. I mean, but really bad. I mean, where she suddenly saw a flash of light in front of her. She testified she saw a flash of light, and my eyesight was totally normal. Another lady, this one I think is amazing. Another lady had a hip replacement. whole hip was, you know, took the, she had a hip replacement, but as a result, there was no feeling. It was totally numb. There was no feeling. Power of God came on her, and she started to feel things. I mean, think about that. What I think to myself, what did God do? I mean, we had a debate at Charles's house. Is that the feeling in, because God gave her a new bone, or is it the, look, I don't know. But the point is, she had a hip replacement, and now she's actually got feeling there. I got one more. I like this one. A woman, she was pregnant with a baby, had an accident, landed up in hospital, and the doctors told her husband, look, your wife is basically a vegetable, brain dead. We've tested all the tests, everything. She's a vegetable. All right? There's no hope. We're going to take her off the machines, and hopefully we can save the baby. Jesus is calling. And hopefully we can save the baby. He came to the meeting, got a prayer cloth. We didn't even know he was doing this. Got a prayer cloth, prayed over, went back to the hospital, and the day that they switched the machine off, he laid the cloth on his wife. Instead of dying, she sat up and said, where am I? Come on. Come on. You got... Now, yes, while I'm telling you these things, I know what's going on in some of your minds. It's like, this is really good, but almost like, but is it real? And that's Argentina, you know. That's down there. Well, I was in Cleveland, Ohio. You all know where that is? A lady, for 14 years, she had to sit. She could not sleep laying down. She had to sleep sitting up. Because she had the flap to her, you know, that goes to her stomach, wasn't closing. So the acid that was in her stomach was burning her esophagus and even the roof of her mouth. I mean, come on, it's terrible. She could not swallow. It was so bad that the doctor said, look, there's really not much we can do for you. She couldn't swallow water. She had to have a special diet and everything. Came, power got touched her. She got up immediately and she said, oh, I can swallow. I said, and she told me what was wrong with her. I said, well, how do you know if you're ill? She said, well, I wouldn't be able to drink that water in one go. So we gave her a bottle and we said, drink. And she drank. And she drank and she says, it's totally fine. She went home and I said, now go sleep. She went home and she slept laying flat for the first time in 14 years. Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show and receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with the power of the gospel and revival by clicking on the link in the description or by visiting our website at worldrevivalministries.com. Thank you for tuning in. I look forward to you joining our next podcast.